So 281 verse 1. Charlie Kirk. How many of you know the name? Don't be bashful. You can raise your hand. Well, it's been over a month now since Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Charlie had founded an organization known as Turning Point. According to its website, the organization's mission is to identify, educate, train, and organize students to promote the principles of fiscal responsibility, free markets, and limited government. Beyond this, Charlie spoke openly about his faith in Jesus Christ. He regarded this as more important than their stated mission. His assassination triggered worldwide interest in Turning Point. There was an overflow crowd of 110,000 people, especially young people, at his memorial service. Their interest extended beyond Turning Point. Many of them were thirsting for something and didn't realize it, something to quench their parched souls. The question is, where can they go to find the water of life? When I pondered this, my mind went to the 8th chapter of Amos, where we read in verses 11 to 13, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and the strong young men shall faint from thirst." The situation in Israel in the days of Amos is similar to the situation in our country today. Having their spiritual taste buds stimulated by Charlie Kirk, many young people are hungering and thirsting for a message from God. But where can they find one? Well, there's lots of churches in our country. The problem is, do they give their hearers the water of life or the heavenly manna? Some churches dispense a message that makes them feel good. Some tell people what they want to hear. Some proclaim that following Jesus will bring material riches. Some lure people with bands and contemporary music, but a shallow message. The majority mix the poison of false doctrine in the cup of truth. Some hammer away at sin, but do not speak of the full and free forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ. Some do the opposite. They talk about how much Jesus loves you, but they don't really tell you how you should love Jesus. Some say you get to heaven by good works rather than by the blood and righteousness of Christ. Perhaps instead of churches, some of these people go to a synagogue or a temple or a mosque, but they search in vain to find a message that will bring hope and peace and everlasting life. They find nothing. There is a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And the result of this is that these young people, the fair virgin, the strong young men, faint from thirst. But here you guys are, feasting in the midst of the famine. Day after day, the water of life pours forth to quench your thirst. Here is a feast in abundance. Your table is groaning under the weight of the food and drink that the Lord sets before you. You feast in your religion classes, in these chapel devotions, in our church services, and in your private devotions. Jesus gave us a promise. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And for years, the Lord has been keeping his promise here at ILC and at Messiah and at your home congregations. So you're special for the Lord, a special people. In his love, he cleansed you through baptism, instructed you through the hearing of the word, reassured you through the Lord's Supper, and brought you to this place of feasting. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And that includes Gen Z. No cap. And what do we observe? What did we do to deserve such a banquet? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, everything we did has made us totally unworthy, even deserving to be cast out into that parched desert of destruction. But as Jonah the prophet said of God, "You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." And so it is that instead of being under the dark cloud of eternal destruction, we are under the grace of God, leading to everlasting life. And now we pray for the thousands who are wandering from sea to sea, from the north to the east, running to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord. We pray for them because we know where the feast can be found. Not only do we pray for them, but we now stand ready to tell them, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live." Hymn 281, the rest of the stanzas.
Gracious call obey. To thee let's sing.